Good morning and welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Newsday Amarillo. I'm David Lovejoy.
And I'm Shannon Gray.
Right now, we're joined by Dr. Bruce Akey. He's the director of the Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratory. Welcome, doctor. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Shannon. I'm doing just fine. Hope you all are, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, some information came out from the Texas A&M system last week. You're well known for your veterinary lab and the work you do with that. And now, during this pandemic, this outbreak, you have offered up the services or would like to see your laboratory testing services opened up for testing on these COVID tests, these human tests.
Yes, sir, that's right. You know, our laboratory does about 900,000 tests a year on animals, and we use the same equipment and do some of the same types of testing that are being done now for the COVID-19 in humans. And in fact, we have a test already set up for the same thing in animals. So we thought, you know, why would we be sitting on the sidelines when there's a lack of testing availability out there, and decided to see what we could do to get in there and lend some of our support to the efforts that need to be made to get more human testing done. So that's what we're trying to do.
And how has that been going so far? Have you been met with pushback, or kind of what's going on with that?
Well, I have to say that I have had to learn a whole new vocabulary and a whole new regulatory structure, because human testing is highly regulated, and rightfully so. You know, it's regulated by the Department of Health and Human Services at the federal level, and there's a national federal set of regulations that regulate human testing laboratories, and the whole point is to ensure quality of that testing and reliability of that testing, and that's certainly something that you want. So we've had to jump into that particular world and try to navigate our way through it. And we've been somewhat successful, but we have run into a few problems here and there. Biggest problem we've run into is these folks have never had to deal with evaluating people with veterinary degrees and education and veterinary training and experience doing animal testing. And it's outside of their box. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun trying to educate them and try to get them to see our point of view that, you know, my folks that have a doctor of veterinary medicine or a PhD in veterinary science are just as capable of running these tests as folks that have an MD or folks that have a PhD in some other type of science, that type of thing. But we've made some progress. We've actually, here in College Station, we've paired up with a local health provider and actually are utilizing their people who are recognized by this program in the federal government as being qualified. And actually, their people are coming in using our equipment and our space and running the testing. And while it's not ideal, at least the testing is getting done, and we're still trying to work with the HHS folks to see if we can't convince them to let some of our folks get in there and add some more firepower to this whole thing. We're also working on a similar arrangement for our laboratory up there in Amarillo, and we're getting close. Not quite there yet, but I think within the next week or two, we'll probably have a similar arrangement with a local human healthcare lab up there in Amarillo as well. So, you know, when life gives you lemons, you try to make lemonade, and that's what we're trying to do.
Now, Texas A&M, the system was ahead of the curve, really, when this pandemic struck. From hearing from WT President Dr. Walter Windler, you guys had already put together some tests. In the early days of this pandemic, that was a big issue, a shortage of tests to even check for the virus. And your labs were able to put together a test and get them out to different schools across the state of Texas to help in that testing. And now you've ran into a little red tape moving forward. What has been the mindset of Texas A&M in battling this, about trying to get ahead of the curve?
Well, you know, they're not called the Fighting Aggies for nothing, so we don't give up real easily. And you know, again, we value the perspective of the folks that are tasked with regulating this testing in human clinical medicine, and they want to make darn sure that the quality and the reliability is there as it should be. So we're going to keep working with them and see if we can't convince them otherwise. We've been working up the chain chain of command, if you will, within the federal system there, trying to get to somebody that both can understand what we're trying to do and has the authority in this emergency situation to actually kind of bend the rules a little bit and say, yep, you know, we really need this, and we will recognize that you all have a proven quality system yourselves. You've got people that have sufficient education, training, and experience, you know, with some oversight still, you know, let's get this done.
You know, David and I have been talking about this for probably about the last week, is that the availability of tests has widened. There are more people now that are able to get tested because we have those tests now. And with that, we need the lab capacity to get the results back. So my question to you would be is, if we are able to use the Texas A&M labs at a higher capacity, how many tests realistically could y'all run in a day?
Well, so we have an obligation to still maintain our testing for our veterinary clients, mm-hmm. because obviously, you know, our livestock, poultry, and even companion animal folks out there, they've got needs too, and we want to support the people that are responsible for our food supply. That's important as well. But that being said, our Amarillo lab has the equipment and the capacity to turn out 300 to 500 tests a day. Down here in College Station, 500 to 800 a day wouldn't be any big strain for our folks to do. And, you know, if push came to shove and we had to devote all of our resources away from veterinary testing to human testing, we could do more than that. So, and, you know, when there's thousands and thousands of tests that need to be run, that may not sound like a lot in a given day, but I tell you, for each one of those 300 or 500 people that needs a result, I think it means a lot.
Yeah.
Here in Amarillo, Saturday, the mayor talked with Governor Abbott and kind of declared this area a hot spot. The CDTC strike team was brought in to battle it with the meat processing plants and with the large number of spikes here in the Texas Panhandle. As a doctor, do you think we're close to plateau, Owen? And do you think we're doing the right thing by loosening the stay-at-home orders across the state?
Well, you don't ask the easy questions, do you, David? Well, you know, there are people more knowledgeable about this than I am, but what I can tell you, having dealt with a lot of animal outbreaks of disease in the past, is that testing is crucial. If you don't know what the landscape is, if you don't actually know how much disease is out there and where it is, you don't really, it's hard to make good decisions, and it's hard to know exactly how to manage things. So, with the level of testing that's been going on, not just in the state of Texas, but all across the U.S., it's pretty difficult. We don't have as much information as we would like to have to truly know if we're at the peak, if we're past the peak, are we at a plateau? You know, we're operating still with some blinders on because we don't have enough testing being done, widespread testing being done of all kinds. And so that's my best answer to your first question. As far as the second question, again, you know, I realize there has to be a reasonable approach to this whole thing, and when we deal with outbreaks in the agricultural world, we are also very sensitive to the fact that you're trying not to kill off the industry while trying to get rid of the disease. So mm-hmm. There are some trade-offs that sometimes have to be made about that, and I can tell you this, my experience in dealing with those animal disease breakouts and emergency management is you make the best decision you can today with the information you have today, and tomorrow it might all change, but mm-hmm. you can't get ahead by sitting back and waiting to see what happens. Somebody has to take the lead and has to make the hard decisions, but also has to be willing to, if need be, backtrack and modify and be flexible about things.
Dr. Aiki, I just want to say I am the agribusiness news director here at KGNC. I work with our local Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Lab. I work with Dr. Gaiman Hellman, who's the resident director there, a lot. He is an amazing contributor to our ag programming here. He is so knowledgeable, so kind. He has taught me so much over the years, and I appreciate him. I appreciate you and what y'all do for the ag industry, as you said, but now stepping up to help people, you know, our consumer base and really our economy as a whole. I really appreciate that. And you mentioned a moment ago, David and I have talked about this a little bit. I got information from Texas A&M just talking about strains of coronavirus in general, how there are already strains present in the livestock industry. I know you mentioned that y'all had had a test already made for coronavirus. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between that livestock strain and this COVID-19?
Yes, ma'am. And it is quite true. There are multiple different strains of coronaviruses, and virtually every type of animal has at least one kind of coronavirus that might affect it. I mean, pigs have a coronavirus, poultry has a coronavirus, beef cattle and dairy cattle have a coronavirus, but they are different viruses. And occasionally viruses are able to jump from one species to another, which is what seems to have happened with this human coronavirus that we're dealing with right now. It did come out of animals for starters, probably bats some other wildlife reservoir, but it is a distinctly different coronavirus than any of the other ones that we normally see in any of the either pets or livestock species that are out there. And that's part of the challenge for both the diagnostic side of the house, because when you're doing the diagnostics, it's one thing to identify that you found a coronavirus, but you also need to be sure that you've identified the coronavirus that you're actually looking for. Mm. And the same thing's true with vaccines, you know, on the other side of the coin. You want to make sure that your vaccine's going to target the coronavirus that you're looking for.
Great, Dr. Akey. Once again, Dr. Bruce Akey, Director of Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratory. Thank you for taking time out and joining us here on Newsday Amarillo and clearing up some things. I've had that discussion about coronavirus. There's a famous picture now, meme on Facebook, with someone holding a vial of coronavirus serum saying, "Oh, I thought you didn't have a vaccine." Well, that's for cows, and that's a big difference.
Yep.
You shouldn't go shooting that into your veins. And we appreciate all the hard work you do on the veterinary side and now as you work to kind of help fight this pandemic.
Well, again, that's what we're here for. It's the right thing to do, and we wanted to help any way we could. So we appreciate you all getting the word out there and trying to educate folks and make sure they're dealing with facts and not stuff that's just floating around on the Internet, because that doesn't help anybody.
Not at all. Thank you for your time. Have a great day, Doctor.
Yes, sir. Y'all stay healthy.
All right. Once again, Dr. Bruce Akey with Texas A&M Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratories. Great words of wisdom there.
Yeah.
Facts, not fear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back here on Newsday Amarillo to wrap up the day.